Well, if you don't know by now, we are at the Angel Stadium for the Monster Energy AMA Supercross kickoff. It's A1, kind of like the Super Bowl. Hey, Britt, how you doing?
I'm good. How you doing, Dingo?
I'm doing good. How was your holidays?
It was great. What about you?
Great. Busy. Yeah.
Busy?
Yeah, super busy. And we are joined today by two legends, both in two different fields. One is probably one of the world's best skateboarders now for a long, long time, but also a fan of lots of things. One thing we've seen him do over the years is ride his dirt bike through the streets. Nijah, how you doing, brother?
Doing good. Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year. How are your holidays?
Hectic. Very, very hectic, but very fun. Some really long nights.
Some closet DJing going on?
Lots of closet DJing. Man, that closet is a special place. That's all I gotta say.
That closet is it used to be infamous, now it's a famous closet.
Yeah, special place.
Jared McNeil, how you doing, brother?
Yeah, fantastic. Good to be here.
Special headphones so I can keep the cowboy hat on?
Yeah, yep, that's it.
Out of all of us, you're probably the most qualified right now to talk about Supercross and what's going on as you grew up racing.
Yeah, yep. Got racing back home in Australia, qualified for 3 pro nationals out here in the United States. So, yeah, got a bit of a background in racing.
And then you switched to freestyle and never looked back.
Yeah, exactly.
Those checks started rolling in.
Yeah, exactly.
We got some changes going on this year. Guys, it's loud. The track's going on. You're going to hear some motorbikes coming up soon. The first track walk of 2024 just happened. The guys have been on the track. 250 guys have run around the track. 450 guys have run around the track. There's been some changes. Guys from where we're from, Jet and Hunter are now in the 450s. Is it going to be a mix-up? Eli Tomac, is he healthy? And what are the predictions going to be? Jared, what are your feelings on the boys stepping up to the 450s?
Yeah, definitely. It's always cool to see the brothers go at it. And then here to kick it off on the West Coast, seeing them go head-to-head will be cool. Yeah, Tomac's healthy. I think his Achilles is all good now, so he's ready to go. Pretty excited. Always a big fan of Kenny out there. So, yeah, it's going to be some interesting racing. Looking forward to it, and looking forward to the guys being healthy and starting off the season well.
What about over the years, Nijah, who have been your favorite riders to watch?
My favorite riders, I'm going to have to say number one would have to be Tomac, just because he is aggressive, he's a beast, he goes for it. And those type of riders, I feel like there's really two different style of riders. There's the more mellow guys, kind of jet style, where he's smooth, but he's still really fast, but it's hard to tell. And then there's guys like Barcia, Tomac, James Stewart back in the day, that like you can really see that they're giving it their all and just going for it.
James Stewart, probably one of the best riders to watch of all time. You never knew if he was going to crash and die or win.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is an exciting way to, it's exciting to watch that. Nijah, I got a video here of your last video part, the Nike SB. Need that. I'm just going to run some clips here. You're not going to be able to see it, but I've dropped in on some clips. Can we talk about, the making of that video? That was your last major video part. How did that come across? I know you had some injuries over the time too.
Yeah, yeah. Last year was, 2 years ago now, was a big filming year for me. And the years before that, unfortunately, it did get cut a little short with me tearing my ACL around like August of 22. But still got to put out a solid 12-minute video part, which is a little longer than your average. But man, I love going back and watching this part. Literally so much damn work went into this one, like so much more than even my other ones in the past. And It only makes me hyped to do it again. We're going to be back at it right after Olympics.
Talking about the Olympics, explain to us the structure and how it works. It'll be your second Olympics down. I think the first Olympics obviously was COVID, weird times. What's the procedure for you guys to make that team?
So the qualifying has already been happening for the past year now. There was actually one qualifying event that I got the win on in Rome right before I tore my ACL. So that was good. Gave me a little bit of breathing room. Missed out on one contest because of the injury, and then skated a few last year. Got two more wins. So I'm actually in a really good spot already to qualify for the team. Three people make the team from the bigger countries. Like three is the max thing to make the team. So it's normally three from US, three from Brazil, three from Japan, a couple guys from Australia. But yeah, there's still a few more qualifying events this year that we got to do good at, but I'm looking in a good spot.
Sick. We're just wrapping up some of your video part here. You filmed all over the world. Where were some of the best places or favorite places you filmed on the Need That video?
Honestly, 95% of this part was filmed in California.
Yep, and
that's
backyard.
That's one of my favorite parts about it, is like really, really just going at it at all the spots that, you know, all the famous spots, all the spots that you actually have to go to and really challenge yourself to do a trick that no one's done before. And people see that and people know that. But I think this one right here is in SF Union Square. That was a sick line. But yeah, my next video parts, I'm gonna have to mix it up though. I'm gonna spend some time over in the East Coast, some New York spots. I love Australia, has so many spots actually.
Get down
around,
there.
Around Sydney and Melbourne, so many spots.
Melbourne's iconic, right? Melbourne has like, I mean, Sydney and Melbourne, but the Flinders Street Station is like a famous, the train station there.
Yeah.
You skated that before?
Yeah, I have.
Shane O'Neill's famously from Melbourne. You recently did a trip to Brazil?
Yes.
How was that?
That was sick. Yeah, me and Monster, we did a sick little demo get together out there with the kids. And was out there for Street League. Man, the fans out there are just next level, though. They're like, bro, if you guys did a Supercross out there, I bet you that shit would go crazy.
Well, there's so many Brazilians.
Yeah.
And I feel like they love action sports. They're good at surfing. They're good at skating. They're kind of good at anything crazy. Not too many. I don't think there's any Brazilians on the lineup. Is there? No.
I don't think there is. Nah.
They're good at fighting.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're good at kicking ass, right, Brett?
Yep, they're good at fighting.
If they're good at fighting, I'm sure they'd be good on a bike.
Right? And congratulations to Brittany, now retired.
Thank you.
From UFC, Ringo, longest Ringo of all time.
Yeah, 16 years.
Dang.
I know.
Was it emotional, your last fight?
I think that the way, you know, I retired kind of on top, right? I won Ring Girl of the Year, and I just like had this feeling in New York. I was like, shoot, I think I should, this would be such a great moment. So when you like leave on top, you're like, dang, did I have one more year in me? But I think it wasn't emotional. It was nice. It was like, it felt perfect. I ended at the perfect time, I think. But thank you. Yeah. That's it. Now I'm a free agent. I got more Unleashed podcasts to record.
There we go. Plenty more of that to come. All right, Jared, I'm going to jump into it here. Some switch ups. You've got obviously Sexton stayed the same. He's Suzuki. You've got Lawrence and then Hunter's brother now on Honda and then Cooper on Yamaha. So the Monster Energy Yamaha team is, I mean, Cooper coming up. I can tell you right now, the fastest, do you want to know who's had the fastest lap time of the day so far?
Yeah, locked line. Yeah.
Do you like to know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a Lawrence brother. Which one do you think?
Jet.
Same. Jet Lawrence has the fastest lap of 59 seconds. Eli Tomac's in that second place.
Nice.
1 minute. So the way that Supercross works here, we have qualifyings, and then you got last chance qualifiers and finals. So you theoretically have time to make it in.
Yep.
What is the best? You kind of want to come out of the gate so you get the best gate position, right? You want the best time.
Yeah, definitely. You want to get the best time in time qualifying so you don't have to go to like LCQs and things like that. Then in the heat races, obviously you want to get through not to go to the night show LCQ. So yeah, the first heats are really important for sure.
And then staying healthy, right? Like, I think everyone's pretty healthy right now.
Yeah, definitely. I think I seen did Hunter crash in practice. So the couple of guys taking some diggers in practice. But I think, staying healthy, get to the night show is really the goal, right? So, yeah, I think the boys are going to get through to it.
Is it a night show or a day show now? Because we're starting pretty early.
I mean,
are we going to be doing fireworks in the daytime? For those of you who don't know, I think it's 5 p.m. West Coast, which is 8 p.m. kickoff. All the action live on Peacock tonight.
It'll go into the night. I think it finishes like 7:30 or something tonight, right?
Something like that.
It'll go into the night. Yeah.
Nigah, you're like now you're not you're an OG, but you're not the young kid anymore, right? And this is kind of some controversy that Eli Tomac is kind of coming up now too. You guys are pushing your 30s. You're still young, but in motocross terms, a lot of these guys get to 30 and almost retire, right? Mm-hmm. Battling injuries and just having to be on and try and not be injured for so long and battling it. Eli, you know, Hunter and Jet are coming in it. Jet's basically saying that he's coming for Jeremy McGrath's, you know, 72, 73 wins. For you, like, how have you managed, like, in time, getting older and staying on top?
It's not easy. It's not easy, man. Especially being a skateboarder. Like, I mean, I know this is really hard on your body too, but like being a skateboarder, and you got to think when we're practicing or when we're out there filming a trick for one of these video parts, it's 90% falls, maybe even more. It's 95, you know, it's like you're just taking a beating every day, no matter what. And if you're not, then you're not challenging yourself. You're not pushing yourself. For me, it's really been just staying as healthy as possible, you know, doing little workouts, a lot of stretching. I stretch every morning religiously. I take a lot of vitamins. I take care of my body, and I feel like I've found a good balance of, you know, still being able to go out and have fun with the videos you see at the closet, but then getting back in the training mode of things after and really locking in and taking care of the body. But yeah, I feel like moto and skating is honestly pretty similar in that way, where like you see these young kids, it's a young sport. You see these young kids come out of the gate and they're just on it. And they don't get as sore. They can go out there and practice every damn day if they want to. And they're chilling, you know? I remember those days. Those days were great.
Shout out to Dr. G.
Yes.
Yes.
Listen, man.
Dr. G, I forgot about that, man. He helps me so much. Oh, my God.
Knowing good doctors in our sport.
You got a G?
Is key.
Dr. G?
Yeah.
You guys both use Dr. G?
Yeah, I used to use him a lot when I lived in Yorba Belinda. So he was like just down the end of the 55. So it's pretty easy, but you got to have a good doctor. You got to know good people to get into good surgeons. Yeah.
I've been going to G for like 12 years now.
Wow. Man, like Hayden Deegan came off a huge year. He won the $500,000 at the end of the year at the Coliseum. And Jared, like, what do you think? Like, last year it was the battle of the Lawrence brothers and Deegan, but like, what's your opinion on watching Hayden come up?
Dude, I love it. I'm loving it. Like, when he was on Super Minis, I was out at Parlor Raceway years back now, but riding with that kid, like him on a Super Mini, and I'm all right. I got around the track pretty decent, and I was ripping around with him, and I was like, Deegan, this kid's gonna be something. Like, and he was just an amateur then, and now watching him get into the pro ranks, a lot of people, you know, talking crap on him and on the family and that, and I'm just like, he's gonna prove you guys wrong. He's gonna show you guys up, and here he is, winning it last year and then being here now. I mean, I'm excited to go and see the races that he's in this year and how well he does. Being on that Yamaha Star Racing, definitely I think that team's great for him. And just watching the whole family, watching that kid grow up. I mean, I lived near Deegan before they moved back east, so spent a lot of time over there with that family, and loving it, absolutely loving watching it. Watching this kid come up in racing is the most badass thing ever. Yeah.
Guys, have you ever spent any time with Hayden?
I think I've met him a couple times, but I've honestly just came across his Instagram a few times and just scrolled through and watched some of his videos, and I like his style.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a fun fact. I got a signed board of yours to give to him like 5 years ago.
Oh, no way.
So he's a fan of Nigel, is what you're saying.
He's a fan of Nigel. He came to X Games in Minnesota, and all he wanted to do was watch you skate.
Sick.
Yeah.
I think I remember meeting him back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man. I grew up with his dad. So it's like, I grew up like in the Metal Militia. We had a company called Grenade Gloves, and we used to like co-promote, and it's wild that I've been to now see his kids. Haley Deegan racing NASCAR is wild.
Sick.
And then to see Hayden come through. I pulled my neck, so I'm like moving all weird.
You're not moving weird. You're moving normal.
You're just weird.
I'm just weird.
What do you think of any up and coming skaters that people should keep their eye on?
Up and coming skaters.
Or that you're watching.
So my favorite, this one actually hurts me because he used to ride for Monster and then he switched over to Rockstar. But my favorite new guy is Brayden. Brayden Hoban, you know?
Really? Yeah, yeah.
Bro, he is just so fucking sick.
Really?
He is a beast.
Is he a young kid?
And he's around like 22, I think.
Yep.
But yeah, in contests and mainly in street skating, he's just got so much pop. The dude can kick flip like as high as he wants to, so he can just get up on anything.
And what's your favorite trick?
Let's see. As far as a flat ground trick, I'm going to go with the switch heel. That's like my go-to warm-up trick. And then as far as rail tricks, I'm going to go with just long backsmith on a flat bar.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to pull that up. I want to see what that is.
You don't know what a backsmith is? Yeah,
you know what a backsmith is.
Yeah, I know.
You know what a long flat bar is.
Yeah. I know what that is.
Nyjah, Disorder Skateboards, let's talk about your skate brand. Like, how's that been going?
It's been going good. It's been 2 years now with Disorder, and it's you know, it's definitely a big learning experience starting a new brand, and like it's definitely not as simple as you would think, you know? But we got a good setup. We run it out of my skate park, which I already had in San Clemente.
Dude, your video parts are insane, and people don't understand that you put like a whole year into that, and then coming down to one contest, and it's also a new contest. So like, it's putting all that pressure on you. Probably, you know, it was probably a lot to deal with. You got to deal with something new on top of the whole Eyes on Nyjah.
Yeah. No, it's definitely a tough position to be in at sometimes, because like I said earlier, like, skateboarding and motocross, they're pretty young sports. You know, most of the guys you see going out there winning and like being really consistent are pretty young. And like, honestly, my easiest years winning contests were like 16 to like 20, 21, 22. Like those years I was just on it. I was winning almost every contest. But it gets to a point where, you know, that's not going to happen all the time. The next generation's
going
to come up and be even better.
But that's how it works. Listen, man, I've been watching you since you're a young kid, and you're always up for the challenge, but I always see, and it reminds me a little bit of watching Sean White snowboard back in the day. You would always wait to the last minute to pull it out, and then you win. And I feel like what happened in Japan, Tokyo, has lit a fire under you for Paris. And I think that's what I'm most excited for, the fire for you to come out. And it's almost like, you know, you're able to have that redemption. And it hasn't quite been 4 years. It's only technically 3 years.
Yeah. Thank God.
I think it being in Paris is going to be epic. I mean, when I read that I was in Paris this year, I was like, oh my gosh, that's just going to be an amazing place to be after the fact.
Yeah.
You have to like go somewhere after the Olympics.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think they already made like a mock-up of like where the skate course is going to be in the city, and the background just looks insane.
Sick.
So sick.
So sick.
Guys, we've actually been pretty lucky. There's no, not too much riding has been going on, so we've been really able to hear. But as I look down on the track, we are here at A1 Anaheim. We're in the Angel Stadium, and they're lining the gates.
Yep.
It's gonna get pretty loud here soon. It's all right. We're gonna keep pushing through, but. Is this your first Supercross?
This is my first Supercross. Like them,
a lot of firsts with you.
I know.
Your first ever Supercross.
This is it.
What?
I know. Seeing them lined up like this, I'm getting pumped. You guys have to give me a play-by-play so I can understand everything.
Well, the first person across the line wins.
Well, thank you so much for that.
And the last one's last.
And the last one doesn't. You don't want to be last, but the stadium, as you can see, there's some people pouring in. Outside in the pits, you'll see McNeil out there later. Also, there's a BMX event going on. There's three dirt jumps kind of set up. There's a lot of stuff going on outside, so a lot of people cruise around, check out, like, all the companies have their trailers set up, and you can go get autographs of the athletes or photos with the athletes and grab gear. And, you know, it's a cool experience. It's a real family experience. But by the end of the by the time they start the race at 5 p.m., this stadium's going to be packed. It's sold out. It's always sold out here at A1, and, you know, just it gets exciting. I'm pretty excited because I like most people, I'm an old guy fan, so I'm really rooting for Eli Tomac. But honestly, it's like I'm a Ken Roxon fan. The Lawrence brothers are on another level. Excited to see them at the 450. I'm an Anderson fan. The fact that you've got Cooper out there still, there's a lot going on. Nyjah, I forget to say, you said Eli Tomac earlier, right?
Yeah.
Now you can hear it. It's about to get really loud.
But also, you know, Jason's my boy.
Anderson is your boy.
And I did hear from a reliable source that he's been riding really good. So I hope
Jason won 2018. He won the overall championship. He's been a monster now. I think this is his, man, I may fuck up here, but I believe it's his third season riding Monster. So we love him. He fits the Monster brand perfectly.
He does.
Changes the outfits. Nyjah, these guys now are super into their outfits. and you've always been, in my eyes, kind of a style guy. How important do you think an outfit is to these riders?
It's definitely important. Like, the better you feel in what you're wearing and what you're riding and stuff, it's only going to make you want to go perform better. And that might sound like cliche, but it obviously is true.
And what's crazy, man, is like, these guys are flying like 100 feet through the air while racing. That's always caught my mind about Supercross. Like, a lot of these other racing sports, they're on the ground, they hold it. Jared, correct me if I'm wrong here, but do a lot of these guys not hold, do they hold their breath the whole time?
Dude, honestly, like, a lot of guys talk about arm pumping, it's because they're not getting enough oxygen. So, yeah, getting out there and breathing. I mean, I raced Supercross professionally in 08 and 09, and motocross takes a high skill, but Supercross is very intense. It's super short racing, so, like, all the rhythm sections are super tight, so you don't really get a place to breathe. So this is very intense racing out here, and, yeah, I mean, I miss it, but I don't miss it because it is gnarly. Like, I thought about coming back to try Supercross to qualify, but, you know, for a motocross national, you could, like, coming out of retirement, I could train for like a month or two and I could maybe last a 30-minute moto at a pro national. But that there, the timing is so crucial. If you mess up, you're probably going to go to hospital. So Supercross takes probably 6 months to get prepared to actually race this stuff. So I give it up to these guys. A lot of respect for anyone that's out there racing.
What are the, like, best off-season things these guys do?
Honestly, like, I mean, after a full season like last year, I think a nice break and letting their bodies recruit would definitely help them a lot. But then again, you can't be off the bike very long because you need that muscle memory and all that to be right there. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's just being healthy in the off season and mentally preparing yourself for the next season.
And then where are the nerves most at? Are the nerves mostly in the gate? Once you get out, are you okay?
I would say the nerves are definitely at the start of the race because you want to get a good start. That's crucial for Supercross. Being in the top runners definitely helps. And then when you're under pressure, when you know that there's a really fast guy behind you and you've got to cover your lines and try and not let him pass and be smart about what lines you take, those times, to me, were racing were two of the hardest parts, especially when you come off the previous season as the number one guy. Going into the next one, everyone is hunting you down. They want to beat you. That puts a lot more pressure. So guys like Tomac and that out there, I mean, the pressure's gnarly leading into the race, not even just while they're racing or doing the start.
Nigel, what about you? Like, when you're competing or in the streets, where do the nerves kick in for you? Oh, or are there no nerves?
There's definitely nerves in both. In the streets, it's all about the first try, like getting past the fear of going for the first one. And this is like if you're skating anything like 15 plus stair rail or like 20 plus, that's when you're really like, all right, every try matters. I gotta be very thoughtful of the process of this and not just like rush into trying something. But then once you get past that first try, then those nerves and those fear more turns into hype. And then you're like, all right, like I got this. Like, let's do this a couple more tries. And then in contest, kind of like you said in the beginning, it's the same thing in a contest. Like the first, I always like to do a simple first trick in my run just to make sure I land it, because that first trick, your legs are gonna feel the nerves. They're gonna be shaking. And it's gonna feel a lot harder than if you're just skating your skate park.
And then, like I said earlier, I've seen you skateboard your best when it matters the most. And that's like last run, last trick. Are they nerves there, or is that just the adrenaline's running, the crowd's up, and you know that if you don't put it down there, it's over?
Yeah, I mean, definitely a lot goes through your mind in those situations, but it's really just about transferring those nerves into being hyped and being, you know, excited to be in that moment. And for me, music helps a lot, skating with AirPods in and just kind of blocking out the sound of the crowd too much. Because you never know, people are going to be yelling shit on the sidelines that you might not want to hear. So me having music in helps a lot.
Does that affect you? Like outside voices or people yelling at, like, does that affect you with like your flow state? It does?
Definitely, yeah. Yeah. One time I came third in the X Games and I had a chance of winning on my last run.
but one of my AirPods just like paused. I don't know if they died or what it was. And like literally right when that happened, I was doing a cat flip over the head and I just fell. And it just like fucked me up instantly. Just pissed.
What music are you listening to?
Oh, you already know, house music.
Who's your favorite house music DJ?
Honestly, the vibes can go everywhere from like a more mellow Afro house, which is more Black Coffee vibes, to, you know, more like tech house vibes, which is more a little more like bouncy and happier music. Everything to like more like techno, which is like really getting you in the zone, getting you pumped. Also on the street sessions, like carrying the loudspeaker out on the set, just getting as hyped as possible before the trip.
Like the old school Muska days. I used to love the beatbox, the Muska beatbox.
Yeah.
There's no headphones when you're in a motorbike, right?
There's a couple of companies that make headphones. I've listened to music when I'm out, like in the hills and stuff like that, like free riding a little bit or just cruising around. But when I'm riding my dirt bike in freestyle, I don't listen to music because I like to listen to my bike, because if there's any little hiccup with my motor, I need to be in tune with that, you know? So it's a bit different. I'm like listening to it, like it's a little bit different with the skate wheel too, because like with us out there, we hear the crowd like cheering for it, but I would never hear somebody saying like something bad. But like in the skate world, I can totally see that where it's quiet, there's no motor.
Yeah.
Maybe when we get to these electric bikes, we might start hearing people in the crowd yelling abusive stuff at us. But while we have loud motors, I mean, it's not so bad in our world just yet. But out in the hills and stuff, just messing around, I'll try. We've got these like nice little headphones that go in our helmets. Yeah.
What do you do? Do you listen to headphones when you ride?
When I snowboard?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if I'm like not working,
right?
Like if I'm like running around at X Games or something, but like if I'm just snowboarding, I'm like.
Are you a double headphone or one?
Nobody runs one headphone.
I run one headphone.
A lot of skaters do.
Really?
So you have to hear people around you.
Like you said, you got to hear your board.
Yeah, like, listen like, to that.
You can't skate with noise canceling headphones.
Yeah,
it'll destroy you.
Is it like a kick, like the pop of your board making that noise?
The sound of your wheels, the sound of you grinding, everything.
That's crazy. You guys are listening to something so different. That's cool to hear that. Yeah.
See, I listen to other people around me. Like they're like left. I'm like okay, you know.
Yeah.
You don't care. You're just like, move.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm passing people.
Your mate's like, hey, dingo. You're like,
well, like honestly, there's no better feeling than like riding like riding powder and then just being completely zoned out with like, I like listening to I'm probably listening to the like old school game or something, like old school rap.
Yeah, I love it. Well, we're gonna ride in Aspen together.
I'm excited.
I know.
When was the last time you came to Aspen, Nigel? You haven't been there in a while.
I know, it's been a while. We gotta get me back out there.
We need to get you back out
there.
I had to cut off the snowboarding though. I had to.
Injury what?
Too sketchy.
Yeah.
I hurt your wrist and stuff.
Tailbone. Yeah. I feel like the board's gonna wrap my ankle around and like twist it and sprain it.
I just had a snowboard accident last weekend. Knee. Front snowboarding.
It's so sketchy.
Snarly, yeah.
Where'd you go?
I feel more sketchy for injuries on a snowboard than a dirt bike.
100%.
Yeah.
There's just so many things that can go wrong like that.
Yeah.
You could literally like be on the lift line and do a snowboard injury.
Yep.
Or somebody could just fucking take you out.
Yep.
I've seen you out riding a lot. You ride with your friends. You ride the streets. You know, talking earlier, you would run one of these tracks slow?
Yeah, I would love to just roll the track, maybe hit a couple of the small jumps. Nothing crazy, but I've always just wanted to see it up close and see what it actually looks like.
Yep.
You got any tips for it, Jared?
I feel like my tips are like, hey, let's get it going and get him out there. I think he's got it. I mean, to ride through one of these and roll through it is one thing. I think you'd be totally capable. I think you could jump some of the little jumps out there, no problem. I mean, I've got confidence in you for sure. These tracks aren't gnarly if you're going to do the whole rhythm section, but if you're just going to go out there and just feel it out and see what these guys are actually riding, I don't see any problem with that at all.
As a race for these guys that are going to go through, there's practice, then qualifiers, then the actual race, are you building up or are you going 100% the whole time?
I mean, you want to be pretty to him fast from the get-go. You don't want to show up to A1 kind of building on it to the last race. You need to come in to practice putting down a heat, like a heater, and then you want to be doing that the whole night. You can't be a slouch out there. This is intense racing. I mean, this is one of the most physical demanding sports in the world. So you need to bring your A game from the get-go.
Jack Sexton last year was the 450 champion. His first championship, he's been a 250 champion. How do you think he'll do out there this year?
I mean, he's a nice rider. If he stays on the bike, doesn't make any mistakes, and he's smooth and consistent, I think he'll do really well. I mean, coming into this first round at Anaheim, these are all healthy guys. Everyone is back. I don't think there's anyone that's really out. They've made it through the practicing prior to the races. They've made it through the practice today, I'm pretty sure. Haven't seen anything on social media yet, but I mean, this is it. This is A1. This is where they all need to be healthy and on their A game. And I think the 450 class, I think there's like, is it like 58 riders signed up for this one? This is a big
yeah,
one.
Yeah, explain us to that. So 58 riders, obviously there's factory rides and then guys that can just pay to put the, what do they call them? Privateers.
Yeah.
They can just pay to put themselves in.
Yeah.
So basically, if you can afford it, you can come and race, but the difference of like from qualifying into the actual race, you're going to lose all of those privateers.
Oh, you're going to lose a lot. Yep. I mean, just like they're on a different budget, man. Like they're coming back in and washing their own bikes or have, you know, one of their mates helping them out. This is a gnarly sport. The guys, you know, the privateers really, really do it hard. I mean, I did it in 08-09 as a privateer, and that's why I do freestyle now, because I was doing the halftime shows at Supercross making money, and then I was funding my own racing on the week. You know, I was racing either side of my freestyle, and you know, this is I have no idea how these guys do it. Honestly, I have absolutely no idea how privateer survives in this industry.
It's kind of crazy,
yeah,
right?
It's scary. Like, these guys work. Some of these guys go to a job.
Yeah.
And then they're out here racing against the best guys in the world that ride for all these factory teams that just show up to a track and their bike's there. And then they leave it and go home and the bike gets washed, prepped, ready for tomorrow's practice. The privateers are going out, practicing, then going home, washing their bike, getting it ready for the next day, and working at the same time in between all that. It's a big difference between a factory rider and a privateer. And I have a lot of respect for anyone, because my career got cut short because I had to do freestyle shows to pay for my racing. And to be out there, these guys, a lot of respect, man.
And are some of those guys getting maybe like a top 10 finish every now and then, or like, is that too?
I mean,
too heavy.
I think a lot of privateers don't make it into top 10.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean,
but sometimes every now and then.
Yeah, every now and then there is some. Let's just say there's like satellite teams that are right under. So you got like privateers that are pitting out of their Ford Transit. You've got like guys that are on semi-factory, like not semi-factory teams, but semi-privateer teams, which are like they're out of like a bigger truck maybe, or something that have a little bit more support. There's some teams out there that have like groups. They might be on different bikes, but there's like somebody that's actually helping them get from A to B every weekend, and they're taking the bikes and the riders have to pay for their flights and stuff. So there's a lot of offset, but then the guys that are like factory are just showing up and everything's ready for them. So there's a lot of difference between this. There's probably three levels of riders out there. There's your base, like privateers, there's the middle of the road, and then there's your factory guys.
I got a question. This is an interesting one. So does Robson still have a chance of winning a championship ever, or no?
So he's a...
Because he never won one, right?
Right.
He came so close, but he never won one.
I don't think he ever won one.
I mean, on that bike, if he has a good finish, obviously no mistakes, where he's got to kickstart the bike and keep it running. He definitely has a go at this. I mean, he's been racing other Supercross stuff in the off-season, and I think he definitely has.
So to answer your question, Nigel, on the practice runs, he's got the 10th fastest time.
Yeah.
Top 10.
So he's top 10 right now, but that's very interesting.
Yeah.
At his peak, he
came so close.
Yeah, very close.
Yeah.
And he's one of your favorite riders too.
Oh, man, I love Robson, because he always... I know a lot of these dudes, but like social media, when I see him out in the pits, like he always comes up to me and says g'day, always gives me the time of the day. And honestly, I know
like a lot of the dudes, but he is honestly one of my fan favorites. He's one of my, he's definitely one of my favorite guys out there because off the mic, he's such a good person.
Yeah. Did you find that a random decision for him to go back to Suzuki though?
I thought it was very random, but you know what? Kenny owned it. Like,
yeah.
He owned it. It's like everyone's like, oh, you're on the Kickstarter. He's like, yeah, whatever. It's a man. Like, you know, so he owns it and he rides it. I mean, you see him out here. Yeah, he has a top 10 qualifier right now leading into A1.
Aside from the Kickstarter though, is the bike, does it compete with the other bikes or absolutely not?
Yes, it does, because I heard that Twisted had to detune his bike. So I think that...
What do you mean they had to detune it?
Like, last season I heard a rumor that they had to... I don't know how 100% factual that is, but I heard that bike was really, really fast for Twisted development, that it needed to be detuned. I mean, who knows the geometry of the bike, because all the other manufacturers have changed frames, their bikes have got a lot better, and the Suzuki has just stayed the same. So what he's doing out there is very impressive for an older model bike, and they haven't changed that bike in a long time. To be able to compete against the new Yamaha, the new KTMs, and that, this is, yeah, he's doing very, very well on that bike for sure.
You ever think that these bikes will go all electric, or what's your thought about electric bikes?
Oh, yeah.
No, right?
I don't even put that out there.
No, right?
Electric bikes are fun. They are fun. But you wouldn't hear the noise, which really helps. It would be, the excitement might be a little bit different. But hey, the way the future's going, I think that's where we're going to head eventually. But hopefully not.
Like, eventually in like 100 years,
hopefully,
right?
Hopefully in 100
years. I want to be gone.
Yeah. That's okay. That's
I want to
okay.
be dead. Yeah. Then they can do whatever they want.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, I couldn't imagine, you know, Sheeny rides the electric freestyle bike, and that still trips me out.
Even like, you know, we might compete against him in best whip, and Sheeny has a really good whip, but when you don't hear the bike going, like, revving out, it's really hard to get excited about that bike, so... the electric bike definitely, like, in certain events and certain aspects of riding, it really, like, kind of holds you back. But then it also opens up doors in other parts of riding out in different areas, like, maybe not in our world, but in other parts of the world, where Europe and stuff, where you can't ride bikes in certain locations anymore, you can kind of get away with that. So there is plus and minuses to that world. I still love dirt bikes with an engine. It's badass. But I can see other people in different parts of the world, city environments, why they're going to that way. So, yeah, there's pluses and minuses, but a dirt bike, a two-stroke or a four-stroke will always be the best.
Who's the first company that's making, like, a proper electric, it's Honda, right? Electric race bike?
I think so.
Well,
So you think all the other companies are just, like, hating?
I would say Stark is going to be the first to have...
Yeah, but out of these guys, though.
Out of these guys, yeah. I mean, none of the other manufacturers have built one yet, besides Honda, but that we know of. So
yeah.
Honda has actually raced one in Japan just like about a month ago. So the Trade Canard. So that was one of the first ever races we've ever seen an electric bike compete against these. So it won't be long, but I'm sure all the manufacturers are going to have to meet. Yamaha invented the pedal assist bike. Yamaha has technology that we probably don't know about, so who knows what these guys actually have. We just know that Honda has one because they've released it, but I would say all the other manufacturers definitely have to have something that they're going to release on us one day, or who knows.
Latest rumor I heard too is that next year Ducati is going to have a dirt bike.
Yeah, there's a couple of new players in this. I think a company called Beta has a bike now. Who else? Triumph, I think, has a bike in the 250 class, which is so funny. Seeing these old brands that were in the street bike world now coming back into motocross. I mean, it's just opening up more avenue for other people, like other bikes and that. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see how those things go against guys that have been, I mean, you know, Yamaha and all these guys have been in this for a long time. So they're making really good bikes. So it'd be interesting to see what the competitors have, and they're new to this world. So yeah, definitely interesting to see how they go out there.
That's good for the industry. country in the sport to have more manufacturers get involved, yeah?
Yeah, I think so. It makes it competitive and keeps everyone on their A game. And, yeah, there's just more opportunity, different varieties of bikes. So, it's good.
Yeah, I guess the rumor I heard, I could be making this up, but I heard Ducati Jordan.
Huh.
Ducati what?
Jordan. The brand.
Really? Whoa, like the
shoe company.
Jordan, Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Really?
Then the team would be Ducati and Jordan. But what do I know?
Wasn't Jordan involved in racing like 6 years ago or something? Yeah.
Well, Nike's had developments.
Yeah.
And they used to make boots and products.
Yeah.
But Jordan is heavily involved in NASCAR.
So his
NASCAR team is growing.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be a surprising thing for a Ducati for him to.
Look at the elephant print on there.
That would be sick. I saw the Ducati commercial too for the dirt bike. It looks sick.
Right.
All black.
Yeah.
Looks fire.
I haven't seen it yet.
Right? And then you can imagine the little Jordan logo on there.
Yeah.
That team would be sick. I love it because we sponsor Tyler Reddick, Drive for 45, the boss, and we sponsor the Jordan car, which is, it's gorgeous to see those outfits.
Cool.
All right, guys, before we cut to break, one more time, A1 Supercross, Nizer, who you going for?
I want to see the homie Jason get a win.
Jason Anderson. Jared McNeil. One more time, who do you got?
I'm a Yamaha rider. I'm going to go with Tomac. I mean, after an Achilles, I want to see him come back and dominate. And that's my guy.
I'm going to go for the Anderson too. I'm excited. He's always got the best outfits on. Behind us is qualifying. We're like underway here.
So in qualifying, are they like really going all out, or are they being extra careful to not like collide with anyone? Or
you want to be safe, but you want to be going all out because this is pretty important for position.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To me, that's just the sketchiest part about Supercross is everyone's so close together.
Yeah.
Like it's just so easy to clip someone's peg or like just get thrown off by hitting someone.
I don't understand how there's no more crashes in the beginning.
Yeah, me too.
You don't want to be crashing with somebody, that's for sure. I think when I was racing like pro nationals out here, second time practice, you're out there going absolutely gung-ho because you do not want to go to LCQ. If you go to LCQ and you have a bad race or a bad finish, you're going home with nothing. You're not even getting into the main. So I know for me, when that gate drops or when that time practice starts, it's on. It is on. Because I mean, it's honestly as what it takes to do the actual race because you need to get to the race.
Look at Anderson's kid right there in the purple. It's Anderson's top berm right now coming down. He's coming down towards us. And he's got like the purple camo on.
He's looking really cruisy. He doesn't like see him just like.
Yeah, is that wrong with his bike or something?
Or he's just like waiting for a good gap to get a good time. You know what I mean? So. I don't know. It's weird watching him just cruise around.
Even Sexton looks like he's cruising, but Jet Lawrence is out front. Chase Sexton running, obviously the number one as the champion.
I think Bob's is out front. That's the leader right there coming into the over the start straight right now. That's Barsha. About to go past the start line right now. Rob, that's your guy in front. No, wait, what? Wait, did they switch back?
So Lawrence, Webb, Sexton. Roxon's running fourth. Anderson's running sixth.
Okay, there he is.
See, that's my only struggle with.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't even see Tomac slow down, but yeah, you're right. There goes.
Anderson's line, rhythm section sick. He takes the inside.
And always the best dressed.
Yeah, see how he's gap. He's let them gap out up past him, so now Anderson's probably going to put in a good lap.
Now this is qualifying.
Yeah.
and your top 10 move directly through?
No, it's not top 10. I think it's like, is it like 8 or 9 or something like that? No, sorry, yeah, it's 10 and 10 and then 2, 2, right?
10 and then 2, 2, so 24 start.
I said 2 twice. It's 10, 10 and 2 to make 22, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So 2 from the LC cube will make.
Only 2?
Yeah.
22 at the start gate.
Right? It's been a while.
Well, Robson now is running second, and Jet Lawrence has come out in his first 450, and he seems to be doing pretty good, guys.
They're looking good.
I see Jared right now just getting excited. The look on your eyes right now is like, I love that look.
It's like almost too, like I'm nervous right now for no reason for these guys, but like Supercross makes me sweat, dude. It makes me like, it gets me going. I don't know. It's kind of crazy, but it like almost makes me want to be out there. I don't know. But then I don't want to be out there. So oh, that's sick. A1 is always the best. Like, and this is sick because everyone, like I said earlier, everyone's healthy. Like, it's been a kind of a few years.
There's been the change of teams. Yeah. So some people are on new bikes. Some people are wearing new stickers on their helmets. And and then this year too, you've got the Lawrence boys that have come up from the into the 450s. So these are essentially what they're saying to the new Golden kids. Yeah. And then you've got people calling Eli Tomac old, and he's not even 30.
that's crazy. We're old.
No way.
Dude, let me look right now.
Bro, I thought he was definitely in early 30s. Because I feel like he's been around for so long. 29. I just turned 29.
Sorry, 31.
Yeah, bro, I was going to say. No way.
31, though, that's not... 8 all-time championships. First real win was in 2012. Yeah, wow. But they're saying most guys don't go past like 30, like 31 now is every year. It's like, oh, is he going to retire? Because I remember seeing him at the sales meeting. You were there as well, the sales meeting, and being like, and he's, you know, it's people were wondering whether he was going to ride this year. And he's like, I'm good. I honestly think he'll be like a Chad Reed. Like, he'll be going for a few more years.
Say that because it's like, I mean, there's a point where you want to win and you want to finish on top, right? Chad Reed kind of went past and started spending a lot of his own money to keep racing, and it kind of like puts a bit of a curve on it, you know? When a lot of the good dudes finish at the top and they want to be known, you don't want to go back after you win a championship and then keep going every year, keep going back. You know, a lot of dudes will retire right at the top. Some dudes will keep it going on. It's pretty crazy to see them go on, but I mean, for me, I guess for me, I won, and then I'm like starting to lose. So like, when do you start retiring? I don't know, but you still have the drive because you want to go back and give it your last chance, right?
It's hard, right?
Yeah.
Have that conversation on athletes. Man, you're at the top. Yeah. That's what you've done your whole life. Yeah. You don't want to stop doing it. Yeah. And for somebody to tell you to stop doing it, I mean, you're not anywhere close to being done. You'll never be done skateboarding, but there'll be a time when you're like, all right, I'm not going to compete anymore.
Yeah, exactly. But even after, like, let's say I did make a retirement announcement however many years from now, there would still be some contest that I would skate.
Right.
I wouldn't just completely give it up. I would see a course or something that hyped me up, and I was like, I'm gonna go out there and skate this one.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean I'm gonna go out there and like, you know, getting like podium expecting to win or anything, but I'm still gonna go out there and like hopefully make a final and have fun.
I mean, not much different than Tony Hawk skating at 55 and dropping in doing best trick at Burke. Like, he's still doing it. Yeah. It's fucking cool to see. Like, at that age, like, you wanna see that. It's one of those things, right? Like that LeBron conversation right now of basketball. It's like, you know, he's pushing 40. I think maybe he is 40, you know, but he's still top 5 best players in the league. Maybe top 10, at least still top 5. Maybe he's, you know.
I agree. Definitely top 10, possibly top 5. Yeah.
I've spent a lot of time with Twitch, right, lately, and he's in his 40s, and like watching him go out in the hills the other week, he hadn't been out the hills in 4 years, and seeing guys like that just still riding in the sport, not competing, but just out there, not just fully giving it up and just having fun and still pulling in sponsors and having a good time riding his dirt bike, still doing flip tricks and stuff like that. I think, you know, I don't think he'd ever come back for a contest, but it's just cool to see the guys still active in the sport, riding with us younger dudes and just being in it, you know. I think that's really cool. And hearing you say you'd come back just to do some random skate comps when you're a bit older, it's like, that'd be the coolest thing as a fan, seeing those dudes come back and have a go. I mean, we've got some new, like, some older retired guys out here, like Hanson's coming back, right? And
he's privateering.
Yeah, privateering. That's just really cool to see that.
The top 10 guys are right now out here, literally still top 10 in what we thought was kind of going on. No real big crashes yet. Jason Anderson wearing the best outfit, but Jet Lawrence really kind of out here proving it. Sexton running that number one license plate as the 2023 champion. Jared Manila and Niger are watching on. Brittany's watching on. It's just awesome to be here. And I think we just finished and we're on our final lap. So it's going to get quiet here right now. But wow, what a cool thing to be here at.
Guys, it trips me out. It trips me out.
Jet, like smooth.
Yeah. It's just so smooth.
So like, smooth.
It's like he's smooth, but also like kind of technical in a way. You could tell he like uses every little part of the track.
100%.
To like any little bump to wheelie over, anything like that to gain speed.
He's on top of his bike all the time. He's like always around his bike.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of body English.
This one's for Nigel. What's your favorite song by Tony Hawk Pro Skater?
My favorite song. Oh, it's been a minute since I've played the game. I'm gonna say just the I don't know the name of the song, but it's just the classic one on the loading screen. You know, when you're loading all the which skater you're gonna pick and stuff. I'm sure you guys know which one I'm talking about.
You're in the video games.
I am, yeah. But I don't really play many video games. I need to brush up on my skills because I used to play when I was a little guy.
I just missed the call sheet right there. Plesnia also, like Plesnia, he finished seventh. Bashia Bakio was in. Justin was in 12th. Man, it's there's a lot going on here. You can see the crowd now starting to form in. We're in qualifiers. It's all happening here. When was the first time you came to a Supercross?
My first Supercross, I was probably like 17, so like 12 years ago. And even the years before that, I was watching racing. I grew up riding in like the jungle of the mountains of Puerto Rico.
That's so crazy.
And that's when I was like 12, 13 years old, we moved out to this farm that I lived at a couple years with my dad. And he got me and my brother some dirt bikes. And I was the one that was like really into it compared to my other brothers. And that's how I got good at riding, was riding these sketchy trails, like red clay, like super slippery dirt, like sketchy hill climbs with 5 foot ruts that if you fall in, you're just gonna get smoked. Sketchy little like wooden bridge crossings and just weird shit.
That sounds cool. That sounds fun, dude.
It's fun.
Yeah, that sounds like a good time.
I gotta go visit those trails again one day. It's sick.
And then what about you? What's your first AMA Supercross?
I came here in 2010, but I didn't get to see the Supercross season that year, I don't think. I came here, my first Supercross was A1 2011, I think it was, yeah.
Brittany's is 2024, January 6th.
Starting off the year, ladies and gentlemen.
have you ridden much dirt bikes?
I've ridden a dirt bike once.
Once?
Once, in Corona, actually.
Oh, that's a great place to do it.
Yeah.
What kind of bike are you talking? I've been...
What kind of bike?
It was a little bike, so it would be like one of those. I think I did good.
You just pointed out at a 22 450s.
Yeah, that's the one I rode. No, it wasn't one of those. No, it was a smaller version of that.
Like a 110.
Yes.
Yeah.
Man, I feel like we just got super blessed by that last qualifying. That was the world's best all kind of ripping. And I think, man, I think, I hate to say it, but I think we got a taste of what we're going to see later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, changing of the guards. Jesus Christ. Well, I hope it doesn't go that way, but man, he looked, Jet Lawrence looked really good, guys.
I feel like some people are like still want to be in denial of him being the best and being that consistent and stuff, but like after what happened in outdoors, I don't really see how he would lose this season without getting an injury.
You've owned a lot of supercars in your life. I saw that Jet Lawrence purchased his first Rolls Royce this year, so I think he's coming in pretty cocky too.
I don't know if I agree with that purchase. I was actually talking to Dr. G about this. I think that one's a little out there. Like, you know, the Lambos, Ferraris, and like that vibe I think is a little more cool, but like the Rolls is like a little over the top. Probably could have waited a few years for that one, but you know, he's living it up, all good.
So obviously Lawrence sees Dr. G too?
Yeah, he does.
This is actually a good conversation because that was, they bought the big body. When was your first supercar purchase?
So I bought my R8 when I was like 18. And then a few years after that, I bought my Lambo, the Aventador. I went with the big boy. And I had that thing for a couple years. And like, I never planned on keeping it forever because I knew it was just such a waste of money. But I'm happy. I have no regrets of buying it. I had so much fun driving that car.
Did you drive it a lot?
I drove it a decent amount, yeah.
Over
it was fun.
Years, like, because I see you have all sorts of different cars, and then you also have your trucks. You still have the Suburban?
Yes. That's like my road trip, off-road vehicle.
Nice. That's one of my favorite Niger cars.
I think so.
And I forget which one it was, but it was either a Mercedes or a BMW. One of them that you tear the streets up in.
So that one, you probably saw videos of the Benz that I had, but then I swapped that out with the BMW M8 Grand Coupe, and now that thing's on its way to being a beast. It's already got front mount intakes, tune, downpipes, everything. I'm going to upgrade the turbos, and then it's going to be next level.
Have you ever, it's okay if you don't want to talk about it, have you ever gotten in trouble for some of your street driving?
Surprisingly not. I posted the one, this is probably one of the videos you're talking about seeing. It's the hill that goes up to my house in Laguna. And yeah, it's like the steep one that comes down, but I was drifting going up it. And it's just like a nice safe turn to drift, even though it's like too narrow. One time I actually clipped my diffuser on the curb by going, oh, it was crazy.
Waiting for a supercar.
What would be your supercar?
What would mine be? Mine would be a tractor. I'd way rather a tractor than a fancy car. Definitely any day. Yeah, that I want something that makes me money.
You're a real Aussie though. You're like a real country Aussie.
Yeah, I'd rather I have an 05 F350. My most fanciest car is a Ford Explorer, the cop car. And I think I just bought a 2015, new to me, Ford Transit van. That's about as far as mine goes. But, hey, if you're making big bucks like that, I'd love to have like a Lamborghini would be cool to have for a couple of weeks. And then I'd probably go sell it and buy a machine. Trade it in for a digger.
What do you have on your property? You have an excavator?
Yeah, I got a Cat 308 with a steel wrist tilt rotator. And then I got a skid steer, Cat CTL, skid steer 289. And I got a couple of dump trucks. And yeah, it's good times.
What the hell are these guys talking about, dude?
I'm just watching Quinn Rentals pop on by on the screen right now. It's one of the guys that helps me out. It's a local cat dealer that helps me out, which is pretty sweet.
That's a real country boy talk right there. Guys, before we jump off, one more time, jump in the chat. Unleashed podcast at MonsterEnergy.com for a year supply of Monster Energy. Brittany, how's your first Supercross experience doing so far?
I mean, I feel like I'm spoiled with all Supercross experiences. We gotta keep this going. This is fun.
And what we're gonna do is the first time we're gonna get Niger a track out on a track. Either at Supercross or maybe the famous Coliseum. You'd love to ride the Coliseum. One more time, we're going to run around the table because now we've seen a qualifier. Are you sticking with Anderson?
Oh, That's who I want to see win.
So I'm sticking with him.
Stick with Anderson.
Tomac still.
Yeah. Stick with Tomac.
Tomac. I'm going for Tomac.
She's like, that guy.
That guy.
Man, I'm sticking with a Tomac Anderson podium. There we go. I'm going to say Eli Tomac. Thank you, Nigel. Thank you, Jared. You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Ew.